Psalm number 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdom stuttered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Hallelujah. Let's read 11 again. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. One more time. Please, let's do one more time. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. We are going to read verses 1 and last. What is that? What's the last one? 11. All right? 1, 2, let's go. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Let's go over it again. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning in which we woke up in your presence. And we are surrounded by your glory. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Because we are going to hear the word of God and we are going to be blessed, we declare as follows. And the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in the manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. So let's take our seats. Now let's open to the book of Psalms 118. That is where we are going to start today. Psalm 118. Last time we talked about, we read from Revelation chapter 2 last time. And we talked about the hidden manna, the white stone, and a new name, which God is giving to the overcomer. Please let me say this again. Those days, as young believers, we learned a lot about God's promises, the authority of the believer, the position that God has kept us as believers in Christ Jesus. And we tried to exercise a lot of that authority. Now, to be honest with you, we got a lot of results. We did. But I can start giving testimonies of things that people did with the authority of the believer we learned. What I did, like my friends and I still remember prayers we prayed. Digression inside digression, right? Have friends. What did I say? Have friends who love the Lord. Some of you, your friends are people that you have to tell them, I won't make the next meeting because I'm going to church. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. You don't go together. Because normally they go to the bar, they go to the sports club. So the next meeting, you will not be there because you are going to church. You are just cheating yourself. Yeah, I know what I'm saying. All right? What I'm referring to this is because those days, I still remember a friend of mine came and described to us the trouble in his home. Home. Now, please, let me explain. We're undergraduates. We're very young. At that time, maybe somebody like me, I was not even up to 20. I was not up to 20, the point I'm talking about. Now, I was not up to 20. The oldest amongst us was like maybe 21. At most, 20. If he was too old, he would have been 22. All our age fell in a 3-year gap. I was the smallest. The oldest was like 3 years older than me. And the other fellow was 1 year older. Do you understand? And we clustered as students. He told us the problem in his house. We ended that problem that night in 15 minutes. In school. His state was at least 4 states removed from where we were. The Bible said they went to their own company. In that Acts chapter 4. Some people don't have. Because of political advantages, you have made non-believers your closest allies. You are cheating yourself. Your closest friends don't follow you to church. They don't, so following you is not the issue. They don't drag you. That's better. They have nothing to offer you. They don't call, oh boy, come and see this book I read. You are the one telling them it's not good to smoke. And you are still their friend. They should be your prayer point. They can't be your friend. The people I associate with, they say, we're going to meet. I told my wife, they are okay. I don't have a problem with associating, you know, because of maybe classmates and all of that. Okay, people you know for a long time. I said, well, I can't invest this amount of money to go and hang with them. I said, the meeting is in Enugu, I'll go. If it's in Lagos, go, come. I said that, but I said, invest the amount of money. I said, I can only invest it. I mentioned a few names for her. These are the people I'm hanging with, believers. We'll joke, we'll laugh, but these are the people I can spend my time, the investment. But many of us don't, and usually what denies us such things, I'll be honest with you, okay, is other, should I use the word, they say parochial interests. Sometimes, you know, he's from my village. Village brotherhood is more important to you. See, everything you choose has a destiny set for you in front. What your life will be like at the age of 60, now you are 35, is being determined by those choices you are making today. Sometimes it's business. It's not Parakpona, it's not village, it's business. And these are the people who can open doors for you. There are statements you make, God will shut your doors by himself. He said, I act, who can hinder it? As for my outstretched arm, who can turn it back? Sometimes I hear people saying that if you go to to Hollywood, Nollywood, they are so corrupt. I've talked to people who try to enter before. I've talked to some of them. It's because they want to go the normal way. You understand? So you're talking about corruption and you have to do some things. I said, why? What I will not do is what I will not do. Whether doors open or they don't open. Do you get my point? I will wait for God to open my own door. You'll be associating with people that you have hope in them. Let me tell you, even politics, for those of you who are politicians, listen to me. If God wants to lift you, he will lift you. He will bring those politicians that you are begging to come and be your friends. That they are the ones that will beg you. Where I'm going is, I see, your faith will be the most important thing to you. Don't go and be the close, because a political associate that will help you, they are your closest friends. Political association or not, listen, brethren must be your closest friend. That's where you hang out with them. Business association or not, brethren must be number one. These friends will destroy you. See, they will. People think I'm joking. Well, I'm being superfluous. They will destroy your destiny. When we talk about destiny, it's the plan God has. You think life is by chance? Let me tell you, we're in year 2026. Where you're supposed to be in 2030, the Lord has written it down today. But you may not get there. You may get somewhere else. When he writes something down, according to his will, he assumes, all right? Or let me put it like this. It's predicated upon the fact that you follow his path. It's not every path you use that will get you there. Let me tell you another thing. Satan may not know the Lord's will. Sometimes the Lord allows him to see it. And then Satan writes his own path for you. Sometimes you have the vision of that place that God wants you to be in 2030 or 2035. Satan will now offer you a road to get there. That road is to ensure that when you get there, you don't last there. It's to ensure that you will get there in a bad state. It's to ensure that when you finally get to such a place, you will not be the influence God wants you to be.
That's what I was saying the other day. When he said Satan just wanted Jesus to bow for 5 minutes, I said, well, no, 5 minutes. You remember that one? That's what I said. He said, ah, just for 5 minutes bow. I said, no, it's not 5 minutes. When you bow to the devil, eh? And said, okay, bow to me, I'll give you everything. And so I said, just in a just small bow. I said, that's how, that's the 1 minute bow is how it starts. But if you bow to me, it's not bow, raise up and go back. No. Once you bow, your spirit stays there. Your body may stretch, but the spirit remains there. If you stand back up, you lose what he gave to you. That's the way it works. So, what happens is that the influence God gives, now don't forget, was it before or after the anointing? Did Satan tempt Jesus? After, right?
Yes.
So you can see that Satan is not stupid. He knew the anointing was worth more than what he was offering. Do you get it? And the gifts and callings of God, they are without repentance. So if he had bowed to Satan, the anointing would have stayed. And he would have been promoting satanic agenda on the earth. What I want to say will scare some people. Many preachers you have seen, that's their problem. God anointed them. And then they bowed. So they can't promote Christ. They can't. They bowed. And then they are speaking full of grace. But it's not what you are saying. It's whose agenda are you promoting? Small aside within their side that is inside their side. This world is full of temptations, oh, preachers. Let me tell you, things you must not desire. That's what we were talking about yesterday. The men were just gisting me. That me and John were talking. And one of the things you must be careful in as a preacher, don't desire to blow. What did I say? Don't want it. Don't study algorithms to promote your ministry. Don't envy anybody that you see his picture everywhere. Don't. Don't think a day will come. You too, you move in a convoy. That's a satanic desire. Satan has filled your heart with evil. I'm talking to young preachers. Hate the... See, let me tell you something. Eh? God help me with that. If you see my picture in posters, it's against my desire. Just like the people, maybe people are inviting me to come and do something. They just that they insist on... I don't want my... If you see Kingdom World organize a program, you won't find my picture. A few years ago, we used to go to Port Harcourt. We're invited. Some brethren will come together, contribute their money, rent the hall, do publicity, do everything. We'll just come and preach. They pay for hotel, they pay for everything. I won't just come and preach. To make their life easy, we had a big vehicle. We normally, well, we don't, because we don't do music really. Everything we need can enter into the boot of a big SUV. So we take our big SUV, put our things in the boot, about three of us, four of us, we drive over to Port Harcourt. We preach for 2 days. Early Friday evening, and then the whole of Saturday morning into early afternoon, because I preach, I teach, and then answer questions. One day we drove into the city. When I saw the massive billboard that I used to cross the road, you know, those ones that cross the road. Honestly, I felt like a false prophet. A few months later, we had to come back. So I begged them. I said, please, that billboard there, when you people want to do it again, can you just use that picture? Just push it back. Fade it. It's called watermark. Just use it as a watermark. They said, okay. I came. I still saw my smile. The next time I said, guys, can you remove the picture? Please. So they removed it. I said, ah, better. I said, those who listen to me, they know my voice. More people have heard my voice than seen my face. It's streaming that began this knowing face. When Eastern Nigeria was listening to me twice a week on Cosmo FM, I don't know how many people remember Cosmo FM days. Most people did not know what I looked like. But they could always recognize the voice. Again, small aside. Inside their side, that's inside their side, that has been inside an aside. One of the wisdom God gave me that time, one of the pieces of wisdom. Because of that, I'm careful what I use my voice for. If anybody hears my voice on air, it's always preaching. I'm a medical doctor. I know quite a bit. The people I compare knowledge with are specialist doctors. Is that okay? So I can speak on anything for the public health. So they will call me those days. I used to do it before we went on air. Because my family, because they knew me, they will come, please, can you come and talk on fever? I said, no, I don't talk on fever anymore. I talk on sin. During the COVID period, one of my classmates, one of these big public health, multinational, NGO working people, said, please, they need somebody, called me. I said, Banky, please, they need somebody to educate people on this, this, and this, on TV. Please, can I give them your number? I said, television. I said, no. I apologized to her. I said, please, I'm sorry. Once it's public media, I must be preaching. I said, I'm sorry. I must be preaching. Someone felt, it's opportunity for... I don't want the world to see my face. Just read my book. You don't need my face. What are you doing with my face? When God appeared, he said you only saw... He said you saw no form. You heard a voice. Hear the voice. Download the book. I made the book free of charge. If you are downloading it. The messages are free. That's a small aside for preachers, all right? Don't allow Satan tempt you, drag you into desiring things of the world. God will lift you in his own time. Amen?
Amen.
And please, again, what do you call lifting if you're a preacher? There's a difference between being notorious and being a blessing. Do you get what I'm saying? You don't want notoriety, all this guy, you know. Then they will now start interviewing your political opinion and you will grant the interview. What do you think of the security situation in Nigeria and you grant the interview? They are trying to trend. Satan is talking to you, he's inviting you, he's helping you. And you are agreeing. Let me give you a word of advice. If they ask you as a preacher, the security situation in Nigeria, use these words. The Lord is on his throne. The time to favor Zion has come. We continue to pray. The will of God will be exalted. Say all of those things. Don't use the word police. Don't use the word army. Unless you are praying for them, say we are praying for the Nigeria army. We are praying for the Nigeria military generally. We are praying for the Nigeria police. We are praying for wisdom. Don't say more than that. Don't say it's a terrible thing that children were kidnapped. Nobody thought it wasn't. Do you understand what I mean? They don't need your opinion. They say this person has, what are you talking about? There's no human being that does not know, unless you're a terrorist. You say Israel is bombing Iran. What do you say, think? Don't say Israel has the right to their land. Nobody's asking your opinion, that nonsense. Say Jesus is Lord. The people of Israel need Christ Jesus. Iranians need Christ Jesus. Palestinians need Christ Jesus. Benjamin Netanyahu will go to hell first before Ayatollah Khomeini if he continues to reject Jesus Christ. What are you talking about? No, many Christians make it look as if whether Netanyahu believes or not. Tell Bibi Netanyahu, kiss the son. Lest he be angry. You think it's only Palestinians that need to kiss the son? Don't get involved in their politics. Preacher. Many things will drop. We'll get back to our message. At such time, stop raising. Let us pray for Israel. Iranians need prayer. Two. Let me use the word prayer. They need it too. Palestinians need prayer too. He has sheepfold everywhere. Pray for all of them. His prophecy covers from Assyria to Egypt, and he said Israel will be the third. Yes. He's gathering everybody.
Who's deceiving you? The Bible says there's Jerusalem from above. Where I'm going is a preacher, when they interview you, don't enter into politics. Preach Christ. Next election, what do you think? Nigerians will get it right when they are still chasing their neighbor's wife. Get that one right first. Are you getting what I'm saying? When they are still over-invoicing, get that one right first now. Next election, let me tell you, pastors, how to answer. The Lord's anointed will mount the throne. No matter what human beings plan, his will be done. We continue to pray that those who occupy the throne in this office, they will promote righteousness and justice and freedom for the preaching of the gospel. Don't declare support from the pulpit for any part. Don't even seem to. The Lord is good. You know, we have gone inside aside. So let me now retrace my step to where I began from. So the first aside is have your own what? Company. Let believers be your friend. Gather with them regularly. Those who drag you to the word of God. Those who love the word of God. I know where I began from. You know, one thing just kept on leading to another. What I was saying is that, so, as little people then, friends, we gathered. And the brother said, I went home. This was what I met at home. It was a bad situation. So, we prayed. And we bound the evil spirit that was disturbing his household. The Bible says that you have an adversary, the devil. The Bible never said you have adversaries, witches. And he knew about people like Balaam. The Bible never said you have an adversary, those that don't like you. What did he say? You have an adversary, the devil. We understood. The house was upside down. Do you know the truth? It even involved false prophets. Prayer warriors. They had moved into the house. So when we began to pray, we said, you evil spirit. Stop. And you see, because it was one of us, it was present. We had local stand, the lawyers call it. The right to invade that territory. It was his home. We wouldn't have been able to do that if he wasn't there. If we heard about it and he didn't talk to us, we would not have been able to do that. So we said to him, the devil, say, you evil spirit disturbing this brother's home. We command you in the name of Jesus, stop and get out from there. The prayer did not last more than 15 minutes. Okay. We gave thanks, we worshipped, so you can add that one to it. But the prayer itself was not more than that. The sentence the brother made was not up to 2 minutes. And then we closed. Then he went home again after a few days. Then he returned and called us. This time around, drinks came out. Those, you know, students have told the hungriest set of human beings after refugees are students. They have gone to buy things, say, time to eat. What happened? He went home. And he said his father woke up in the morning. Something came upon him and said, what is all of this nonsense? So all those prayer warriors, he drove them out. All those, he personally couldn't believe what happened. Peace returned to the house overnight. Three small children on campus drove out one spirit. One of our sisters called me and told me the trouble in their house. Ah, I said, hey, we have handled this one before. Come, let us pray. The younger brother, the only son in the house, had started going mad, smoking wee-wee. Not smoking, he was keeping bad company. Then one morning, his father entered his room and found a cigarette there and broke the father's heart. I said, not a problem. That's what we're taught by Kenneth Hagin's books, Authority of the Believer, and people like that. Then we attacked that devil again. The boy also woke up one day and said, what am I doing? And he went to church. And he gave his life to Christ. And next time we saw him, he was on his way to a camp meeting. And took all the secular tastes of those days and began to dub Christian music on them.
Do you know, I'm looking back now. When the witches come into this country, because we, that time, we didn't have time for such nonsense. We didn't have time for some. So look, look, all we're doing with the once we learn, they look for where trouble they. I told you, this one doesn't, it's not too good, but my brethren did it. I wasn't there, but I heard the story. One young girl on campus gave her life to Christ. One you know they call confra boy. We don't know, cult member was terrorizing the girl that she must remain his girlfriend, otherwise, no, using all the threats. So the girl carried his matter to the brethren. Yeah. My brethren, you see, we don't have time for witches, though. He said what? Man, this and that. He said, that's not a problem. Oh, yeah, come. They join hands and cast him in the name of the Lord. He tried to cross the road. A car killed him. He said, okay, you are free. I'm not kidding. One brother was there. I can tell you his name. You met him in Lagos. He was the one that said, he said, look, I was there. This was what we did. That brother who's now a bishop in Port Harcourt, you know what I'm talking about? He was the one that led the prayer. So what kind of nonsense is all of this? The guy said, you know, what's your problem? Okay, that's the way you want it. Guys, come, give me your hands. I'll be confronting in heaven or hell, wherever you went. But this girl will serve God. But now we're pursuing witches up and down. And no witch is being pursued. We're just the one running aimlessly. One man in one major city does annual witch killing conference. And ignorant people go. What kind of thing are we doing? Pursuing witches. But let me get to my message. I just got distracted from there. So, those are within the authority of the believer. Like I said, we practice a lot of things. I just give you a few examples as children. And the power is still available to you today. Amen? Uh-huh. But there was an area we had a problem. We grew older and realized it. We had authority over demons, most certainly. We did. When they came into our private spaces. That's why I give you those examples. They entered our homes. We drove them out. They blasphemed. We shut them down in our hearing. A friend of mine was blaspheming one day. Childhood friend. Went to his house during one holiday. I was 18 years old. I was 18. He was blaspheming, mocking, laughing at me. In there, we were joking, me, him, his sister, I don't know whether somebody else there in their house. Then that began to cross some lines. He read one book by Harold Robbins, one secular author, that mocked one particular preacher. He wrote a story by a particular preacher. It was because of him I went to read the book. I wasn't reading books like that time. Just, what did this boy read, self? I said, this is the nonsense. It was fiction mixed with senseless coincidences. And the man tried to say, this is how preachers behave. He convinced my little friend, who was also a teenager, that this is how we preachers, that me are following preachers. Look at what I'm following. He was talking nonsense. At the point in time, I began to get grieved. He now sat down somewhere, pulpit. He was trying to do like a preacher. What he read in that funny book. At that point in time, he had crossed the line. So I got up, went to the front of their house. Their own, the balcony, were upstairs. Opened the door, went there. I closed the door. And I said, you foul blaspheming spirit, I command in the name of Jesus Christ, shut up. I walked back inside. Suddenly he went quiet. He continued speaking. This is the part that will shock you. A few days before, I had been studying my scriptures, and God had given me understanding in some things. The Spirit possessed this boy. He began to preach. God is my witness, I'm not lying to you. The very understanding God gave me a few days ago, he began to utter it. My mouth opened. Lord, what's going on here? Him and his sister did not know why my mouth was open. The blaspheming spirit left him instantly. And the Spirit of God possessed his tongue. No. We ate evil spirits when they crossed our lines. That's why Jesus, you don't hear me talk about them because they know they cross my line. My problem is always with my God. Doesn't mean I don't have problems. I do. I have challenges. But don't talk about the devil. What's your problem? If owl enters my house, I will catch the owl. Will you stay? You look nice. I you can turn your head to 270 degrees. Turn it, let me see. Why are you killing you? You can't be a witch. You don't understand. You can't be. You can't be. There's no possibility. The possibility is zero. Possibility is zero. But enter my house, it can't be a witch. You know, even if a man looks me in the face, you know, maybe say, be okay. Well, those who don't know, that those are confused people who said they think they have spiritual power. You now come and threaten me. In all honesty, I won't pray about you because God will punish me if I do. I have one of two choices. I just look at it, see. Either we are clown looking for who to deceive. 99% of those in Anambra State, that's what they are. That's why their governor locked all of them up. And threatened, if you can disappear from here, I know you have power. Because he was tired of them confusing young people all over the place. So I think you're just one of them. Or if you're a real one, there are people that have spiritual power. They are occultists. I think somebody has marked you for death. So God is looking for how to kill you quickly. So he now instigated you to come and threaten me. Because as God lives, if that is really who you are, the angels that guard me will kill you. And I won't pray. I don't have time to pray for you. The only thing that will sustain your life is I get on my knees and say, God, please have mercy on him. Otherwise, the genuine ones, they keep away from people like me when they meet us. Because they see in the spirit. Once they approach, they look. And they will say, don't go there. See, there are sinners there. So that man going there, he's been cheating everybody in the market. Just eat that one. See, that one that is terrorizing people on the road. Use his liver for fried rice, yes. You know, they chop liver into fried rice. Let's use this. Say, do you want to eat kidney pepper soup? Say, that's kidney soup. Hey, use that one now. Look at that one that's chasing his neighbor's wives. Every street he goes, he must chase somebody's wife. Let's use that one's kidney. I beg, don't give me trouble. Because they will tell themselves, we don't want to die before our time. It's not a prayer point. If they are patrolling streets, see, it's a spiritual thing. They feel it. If they can't, they are fake. That's why I behave the way I do. If you really have power, if you really have power and you see, you know, you don't threaten me. You can't. The concept will not cross your mind unless God determines that this one will die. So I need one more thing for him to do wrong. So what should he do? Let him go and threaten Banky. And that threat is judgment against him. I won't pray about him for what? Hey, I forgot to tell you. It's not because of a special anointing I have. It's because I'm a child of God. Oh, we need to clarify that. Before people start following my ministry now because I think there's power there. That's not what I'm talking about. Do you follow what I'm saying? Sure. Some people say, hey, yeah, the power is in King Noah. No, the power is in being a believer in Christ Jesus. Yes. That's where the power is. Some people may not know. That's the bragging. Let him that boast in this, that he knows me. I'm bragging in the knowledge of Christ. I'm not bragging in, I went to the mountain for 40 days. All those empty bragging. Lie. Anointing does not come from mountain for 40 days. Jesus was anointed before he went to the wilderness. Am I lying? You make it look like, I just came back from mountain. That was when you went to be tempted. When was Jesus anointed? At the baptism of John. People look like make it look like our church will just finish. You see, let me not start now. We just finished 60 days fasting. So what's that supposed to mean? Now we are ready for what? Yeah, that's where the problem starts because people get overconfident. Turn these stones to bread. Yes. Let's show them that we have power for bread making from stone. Oh, they turn stones to bread. Satan says, oh, day. I don't catch this one. Once he turns stones to bread, that's where he goes. He goes, hey, now that you have turned stones to bread, every man should worship you now. Shouldn't they? Yes. You want them to worship you. And look at you, you are wearing t-shirt. You will get a bishop's robe and a deacon's cap. You know, those caps that look like, you know, devil worshipper's cap. I come to church. They stand like this, yes. You know a man that has bowed to Satan. And he doesn't know. Oh, he doesn't know. And if you're like that, let me tell you how you know you bowed. You keep bragging on that fast. How this ministry began on the mountain after 60 days fast. And the Holy Spirit came upon you and said, relax, oh boy. Go and read your Bible well. Most people that God anointed were reluctant. Don't you read it? Moses. He said, I can't talk. Jeremiah. I'm but a youth. Amos. I'm not a prophet. Oh. Gideon. You see, the man was hiding. It was God that came to disturb their peace. Elisha was plowing, going about his business. But you now want to make it look like you. Flesh, they worry us a lot of times. When God has fully anointed you, it's humility that you should birth. Someone might say, I can pray 20 hours? That's a small thing. Well, they said whether I can pray for Lord. They said, is it 8 hours? That's small. What's all this bragging about? What is all this bragging about? Relax. The victory is in knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. That's the point I'm making. Don't brag in yourself. It's not your prayer that's delivering you. It is not your ability to groan. So everything I've described, brethren, is the position of every believer in Christ. It is not the unction on kingdom world ministries. No. It is the position of every believer in Christ. It is the position of everybody who's in Christ. Let's get back to what we're saying, back to our main message. So we learn those things. Like I was saying, demons cross our personal spheres. Okay? We tackle them. And because of that knowledge, you don't see me or any of my peers that learned those things blaming the devil for everything in their lives. I'm like, me and the devil, we don't roll in the same sphere. I keep their distance. My issue is between me and my God. If I have troubles, I look and I say, where is God, my maker? And he speaks in the midst of those troubles. We'll get back to that in a moment. So, I was saying something. We carried our authority, therefore. Now, I was going to get to that area. To other things that God didn't grant to every believer. You wanted to rearrange the horizon. We wanted to decree anything. And we said it to be established. Potentially, yes, those things, that kind of power exists. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. Please follow me. We wanted to stop the rain at will. And stop, you know, dryness at will. Wanted to direct the flow of rivers and command locked doors to open. Those are not demonic operations. The weather is not your own alone. I hope you're getting my point. You wanted to do all kinds of things. And we began to meet with all kinds of failure. So people felt discouraged sometimes as if the faith was not working. It was. We did not realize, but later we began to study scripture and say, God does not give authority equally in those areas to everybody. No, he doesn't. The authority has to be granted to you. It's not every righteous man in Israel that will come out and say, it will not rain and there will be no dew until I say so. Of the 5,000 others that were kept in hiding, None of the other ones could say that apart from Elijah. To Elijah, God had given that authority. It's not everybody that could go, take a staff in his hand, stretch it over the Red Sea, and cause it to divide. That time we read the story from Young Icho. Some young boy decided that they were going to walk on water. In South Korea, the river, they wanted to go somewhere. The river was overflowing its banks. But four of them, they joined their hands and decided to walk on water. And they found their dead bodies days later. Somewhere further down the stream. They were dead. And it was a scandal in the country. It brought shame to the gospel. Because people saw them openly trying to do Jesus Christ. And it didn't happen. It was now an embarrassment. Sometimes we didn't have answers. I can show you, I've been through that again and again. There are times you have prayed all the prayer. You thought you've said the right things, and the spirit bears witness with your spirit that everything is okay. Then things happen the exact opposite of what you were waiting for. Small aside, go and learn one scripture. Though he slays me, yet I will trust him. Because in this life, there are times you feel being slayed by the Lord. So that was not the use of Christianity. Don't be stupid, my friend. You won't go to hell at least. And that's not a joke. Let me quickly tell you. This earth will wrap up. I think we are getting close to the end. I don't know how close, all right? But I think we are closer to the end than we are to the beginning. All right, we've been coming out for a few thousands of years. And this not be the end of existence. There will be another earth. There will be another life starting. And hear me clearly. The person preparing that, his name is Jesus Christ. And the only people that will go in there, we call them Homo sapiens Christus. Human beings has been separated into two groups now. Those who will end their lives as the Adamic set of people, but on those who we have the spirit of Christ in them, who God will give, all right, at the coming of the Lord, a new body. And then with that new body, they'll go into a new earth, eventually, where righteousness dwells. That's why Jesus made it clear to us. Rather be a poor Lazarus at the door of a rich man, begging, full of sores, than be that rich man who doesn't know the Lord. People have tried to make doctrine on why Lazarus should not have been there. Don't be silly, my friend. If Lazarus was not there, Jesus would not have told that story. I don't know whether you are getting my point. You will have found that story too. So please, don't make it look. Jesus did not teach about the deficiency in the life of Lazarus. He taught about the value of things eternal. Stick with that. Lazarus was there because he did not know his rights in Christ. That's not the doctrine. That's not the doctrine. The doctrine from there is the fact that, see this man who suffered on this earth? He has stepped into eternal bliss. That's the doctrine. Where I'm going to ask, sometimes people will make statements like, so what's the use? Oh boy, the use plenty. What did I say? Even if you get nothing on this earth, you're poor, you're not fit, yes, I mean it, I'm not saying it's good, but please don't let go of the Lord. Why do you want to suffer and everything ends there? Some people want to mortgage their eternity for temporary gain. Satan will always offer that to you because he understands the value of your soul. You are the one that doesn't understand. Let me not sit on what Satan is gaining. So, we began to have those disappointments, of course. Because we didn't understand that, well, this is not your personal area. Your authority doesn't cover here. God has authority that covers those areas. He does. Then he grants them. We talked about it last time. It is called, first, you get to eat of the hidden manna. The Bible said, it didn't say it's a privilege of every Christian. What did it say? It's a privilege of who? Overcomers. To him that overcomes. And in writing to seven churches and describing himself different ways, the way John saw him at the beginning, he let us know the things to watch out for to overcome. And he said, he that has an ear, let him hear the story told to seven churches. So every Christian must cover every area. He said, when you overcome, I'll give you the hidden manna. Like I said last time, what does the hidden manna imply? It means your eyes will open. You see things other people don't see. And when you see, you get authority. What you know consciously, I'm not talking about what you just what you like to believe or what you think, but what you truly know gives you authority. Then it says, I will give you a white stone and a new name. The white, the stone and the name, they go together. It's not you get a white stone, then you get a new name. No. On that stone, a name is written on it. That tells me it's a seal. It's a seal of authority. That is when you will come out. If he gives that to you, you will look and say, the weather has been dry for a while. Why? And, you know, because the Holy Spirit interacts with you then. It's not as you're acting against the will of God. So I need somebody to open the skies. To you has been given the right to open the skies. So you tell your children at home, bring in all the clothes early, it's going to rain tomorrow. And they look at your daddy. Hey, I said it will rain tomorrow. And you go about your business. No prayer, nothing. And the spirits hear it. What the Lord has said is, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. When he speaks about this, listen to him. John Alexander Dowie. Now let me drop this because I mentioned the name Dowie. No, we were talking yesterday. Okay, I mentioned the name. It's a public scandal and all of that. About Ravi Zacharias, remember? They said he did this, he did that, he did not do that. I said he preached this, he preached that. Hold that one that he preached. Does it mean I agree? Am I defending him that what they accused him of, they are not true? I don't know. I have a problem with the fact that he died before he started accusing him. But even if it's 100% true, there is no word he preached about Christ that is wrong. Please, listen to him. There's an anointing that followed that man. It pained me that he was late before I discovered his videos. I had listened to hundreds of hours of his audio. They wonder, they don't know why I never even thought about looking for his video. I stumbled into his video. I realized that this man was not more anointed than I thought. When you hear him speak, the Holy Spirit just enters that man and speaks through him. That's what he used to do. He's late now. I pray for myself all the time, all right? God will keep me standing. He said, let him that thinks he stands, take heed lest he falls. So anybody can fall. That's why you have to keep praying and keep moving. However, it won't happen. That's what I'm saying. But however it were to happen, Pastor Mankey did something wrong. One big scandal breaker. Please listen. Just mark the day that started. Then quickly go and download all the messages I preached. And if I come back and start preaching, please follow. Because it is not me that's preaching. The Holy Spirit I'm using to preach didn't do anything. Now the vessel go commit. Are you getting my point? It's the vessel that decided to go and commit. And that's why you have to be careful. Touch not my anointed. Be careful. Because the anointing does not commit to. Do you follow my point? And you can't separate the anointing from the vessel. It will be hard for you. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. That's why some of you preachers, I beg you. See, you will never hear me negatively mention the name of another preacher and start tearing the person's doctrines apart and his life never. Their senses we learned early. Is it okay to say the word senses? There are things we learned very early. He said, but you talked about it with Joshua. Is that only Christian? I'm not talking about people like that. He talked about it. I'm not talking about charlatans. I'm talking about Christian preachers, true Christians. Not those who bought soup, not people like that bought jacket.
have to, what's the Elijah, the one in Enugu here. I have to warn you about him. But if tomorrow you hear that Pastor Dami, the smoke, you won't hear it from my mouth on the pulpit. I'll just take the doctrine he preached that's wrong and tell you the right thing, as God helps me. You know what I'm saying? So there are so many preachers. They are full social media. There's one black guy like that. He said, when he was in prison, I said, you are going back. The way you are going. This prison, he said, you came out from to start this ministry. It looks like that's where you want to head back to. No, I'm not one that says that if you've gone to prison, your life is over. No, I'm just saying the way you are behaving. It looks like you want to go back. Because the only thing he does is to take a man of God, a church, a denomination that doesn't agree with, and start tearing the things they are doing apart. You know, it trends on social media. There are a lot of goats. Now, when I say goat, now that, I don't mean insult, and I don't mean greatest of all time. I mean, Jesus said there are sheep and there are goats. That's what I'm referring to. There are a lot of goats who like to follow things like that. And social media thrives on volume. Like the song that our sister shared the other day, one video. And in it, one man preached sound doctrine. But he said, sorry, I don't want to get involved in controversy, in a clash between men of God. I said, no, there was no clash between men of God. He took a wrong doctrine popular in the body of Christ and gave about 20 scriptures that show that that doctrine is not right. But those who posted it, you know what they did? They said, let's call his name Reverend ABC. They said Reverend ABC answers Reverend XYZ and Reverend RQRT. He mentioned nobody's name, but they put his picture and the two proponents of that false doctrine, they put their pictures together to make the thumbnail. It's called a clickbait. So when you see the picture, you open it, you didn't mention anybody. Just say, those who preach this, let me show you the scriptures, which is very, very righteous and necessary. But having said that, please don't get involved as a preacher. You know, I like to talk to preachers. I have many preachers who listen to me. There are men of God here. Don't have time for sitting down and then what Pastor E. Adebo is doing now that is wrong. You go wrong, Pastor Amo. You get me? What I say wrong now? The thing is you that think is wrong anyway. Are you getting my point? I know why I said that. So I'm just warning people. That's why you see me. Once the person is a preacher, I look for the good thing you said. The bad ones you said, I won't pay attention to it. But I won't bring your name to my pulpit and start tearing you apart. Why I'm saying this is because I want to talk about John Alexander Dowie. Towards the end of his life, we read his books. People used his life to correct us. Robert Sliadon took time out to analyze it. John G. Lake spoke about it. As he said, he will tell you about John Alexander Dowie before too much work affected his mentality. That's how he talked about it. He said too much work was what disturbed him. And Gordon Lindsay wrote a whole book. The name of the book, and I recommend you get it, is John Alexander Dowie. Have you read it? Uh-huh. See, that's why this guy is a real man of God. It's a Nathaniel man of God. Yeah. But you know, last time, Tuesday, we talked about wicked and unserious believers. No matter how much I mentioned it, and they say they are Christian pastors, so they are listening to me, they won't read the book. And tomorrow they make the mistakes of Dowie. So those men explained to us the mistakes in the life of Dowie. They were not insulting him, they were not trying to tear him apart. They were just warning the rest of us. In fact, if you read the book, glowing things sold is spoken about Dowie, then they will show to you where the faults are. I'll give you an example. But I want to talk about the power in his life. The power in his life. One day his daughter, he hated alcohol. So you don't do anything with alcohol. It was a bit of excessive against the chemical. The daughter was not drinking alcohol. There was no kerosene, but they used to use alcohol to make lamps, for fuel for lamps. So she took alcohol and poured in her lamp and was burning for fire. Then it fell on her clothing.
burnt her. Anyway, that's a summary. Let me not go into details. She got seriously burnt. Do you know, when he went to see her in the hospital, the girl complained about the pain. He rebuked the pain and he stopped. At that time, he was already going down in the area of things like finances were bad, bad things was being said about him. But he touched the girl, the pain disappeared. Pain from burns. He didn't believe in doctors. That way. In the midst of all this scandal, hey, he misused people's money, so many negatives said about him. Chicago was having a drought. He traveled for a long time. When he came back, they were taunting him. Elijah prayed for rain. Will he dare to pray for rain? Now, I can't remember whether it's Chicago, this one, but there are two cities. One he returned at the train station. They said there's been no rain. There's been no rain. He knelt down there and asked for rain. Rain finished them. You know, rain. One day he was preaching another place like that. They said they've had a drought. He came to preach. Yeah, will he dare to pray for rain? He finished his preaching. When he finished preaching, he knelt down behind the pulpit. Then he got up and said, everybody, rush, go. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. They couldn't make it to the door. Before they got to the door, the rain was so heavy. Yet, they felt he had fallen from grace. They were saying so many negative things about him. But God had given him power. God had committed to him authority. See, I talked about it last time. Let me not go over the message again. People talk about once saved, always saved, once saved, always saved. I said, the Bible says once. First, that doctrine is very wrong. I don't have to talk about it. Those of you who preach it, what you are preaching is not true. And listen, don't think. Let me give you an example. Like one brother told me, say, please open your mind. If you open your mind too much, things will fall out from inside. So you have to know how much to open this mind. Do you get my point here? But what I want to tell those of you who make it look like it's a new doctrine you just discovered, it's not new. Peter had to answer it in his days. James had to answer it in his days. But let's not talk about those ones because you saw their answers, but you don't like them. Let me talk about our modern times. First time I heard this funny doctrine, it's like 30 years ago. You know, some people are just discovering it. They think they're a revelation. You know, the one brother that was talking to me, trying to explain, I feel like, you know, I didn't want to sound like I'm a proud person. Because that's how it sounds like. I said, Oga, you are just discovering it. I had fights over it 20-something years ago. Why are you making it look like you're telling me something that just came out of the blues? No, this blue has been there for a long time. Do you get my point? It comes and goes. Even you preaching it now, you'll soon get tired. They're sincere people, young pastors who pick up on that doctrine. It will destroy their life, destroy their ministry. Then they will get corrected. Then, another 25 years, the doctrine will start again. Then they will try to explain to the young people that it doesn't work like this. Those ones we think is a new doctrine. It's not a new doctrine. All right? It's a false doctrine, inaccurate doctrine that's been going on for a long time. That no matter what you do, God is holding you. No, God holds you if you hold him back. But if you let go, he lets go also. But where I'm going is that, why do we want to sit down arguing on once saved, always saved? Did the Bible say once saved should only be saved? Did you hear what I said? Did the Bible say once saved should only be saved? No, he said once saved should climb on to perfection. He should go on to higher things. He should get to a point where the Lord will say, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. So let's stop sitting down arguing about whether one saved is always saved. Let's argue on how far can one saved go. I want to hear doctrines like, Pastor Banky, there's something you've been saying. Is it accurate? That there are watchers that are human beings. That God promoted to the level of being watchers. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about, is it possible to be one of the 24 elders?
Those are the things we should, do you get my point? Those are the things we should be talking about. Can God commit the spiritual destiny of a whole nation into the hands of one person? Let's be having those arguments, I beg. Let's be quarreling out. No, they can't be one person. They have to be a team of Christians who have to be in agreement. Because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in total agreement. Those are the arguments I want us to be having. Do you get my point? Not discussing. It's once saved, always saved. I don't have time. I want to know that the decree of the watchers that removed Nebuchadnezzar, are those watchers only angelic watchers, like some scriptures to say, some verse, from versions of the Bible put the word angelic? Or are they earthly watchers? Because Elijah, who qualified to be called the watcher, okay? After all, by his decree alone, there was no rain, no dew in the whole of Israel. Let's discuss that. That if Elisha was there, does he have to agree with his boss or disagree with his boss? Because Elisha was not there at that point in time. It was later on he went to anoint Elisha. Those are the arguments you should be having. No, come and waste my time that if I collect my neighbor's wife, shoot everybody on the street and steal all Nigerians' wealth, and I say Jesus is still Lord, whether I'm saved. Why do I want to shoot everybody on my street? Why? Why should that be my issue? Of all the things to aspire to in this life, is whether after I've committed all the sins I want to commit, whether I'm still saved. It's what I should be discussing with you. Pastor, you have no spiritual goal. And those who are following you, they always remain once saved. Do you get where I'm going? Because there are people on this earth that God has given the ability to remove rulers. Yeah. They are very disciplined. They don't judge with ordinary eyes. They see deep things. They know what matters. They'll be able to tell you that, this governor, what is he doing? They tell you, leave him. Because they know areas you cross, they have to pass judgment. And this person, you know the job he does? He's a taxi driver. He's content with driving his taxi, where he hears all the G's going on in the society. He's a university lecturer. He's a foreman at construction sites. Every 12 o'clock, you guys don't find him. He takes an hour to commune with the Lord. Doesn't make noise. See, if you're praying, disturbing the neighborhood, you don't want to know the truth. You're not talking to the Lord. You're talking to yourself. Maybe you're fighting witches. You can't be talking to the Lord and the rest of us will be listening. These are sacred. Think about it now. These are sacred communications now. For example, I'm one of the watchers as an example. God has given me a stamp of authority. I want to dislodge a whole political party. I'll be shouting it out. No, now. When you're discussing serious matters, you won't be shouting it. Actually, one day I was on a flight. Storm was very serious that day. And two girls were praying. Two ladies. I stand in the shoe of Paul Enenche. Paul Enenche was in Abuja. His shoes were being used by people trying to land in Enugu. I stand in the shoes of Selman. I didn't know where Selman was, but oh boy, I hope you can find your shoes. But there are two babes here who are using your shoes, right? They screamed so much, we couldn't hear the pilot. At the point, I had to tell somebody, please, because okay, it was really bad, turbulence and all of that. So we couldn't remove your belt, everything. I wanted to stretch and touch the one that was close to me and say, oh girl, stop shouting. So I had to stretch, touch the guy. And I was on this row that has plenty abundant leg room. Exit row, yeah. So touch the guy next door, next to me, to tap the prayer warrior. I had to stretch without removing my belt. Please let me tell that lady that we need to hear the announcements.
So that one content and say, you get one guy who doesn't believe in God here. I'm kidding. He didn't say that. I'm just kidding. Now please, they say you should please calm down so we can hear the announcement. He was closer to her. So they told us what they wanted to do. I mean, I didn't feel there was a problem. That they had to divert, go all the way to Wari. So they will keep us there until the storm over in Enugu clears and stuff like that. Then as soon as people took off again, for us to come, okay, we got to Wari. It was kind of calm. Waited for like 45 minutes. They came, one reach Enugu again. Hey, see prayer. They were shouting so loud. I wanted to tell my dear and say, please, sisters, that's not how we do these things. But you know why I couldn't talk? Because as we're leaving the plane, there's this very famous actor. You know his name. I just want to mention his name. I can remember his name very well. It starts with C. His first name ends with L-U. Then the surname starts with A. You can guess who it is. Nduka. You're on your own. He started in business class. So as well, he said, oh, where are our prayer warriors? He brought out money. I just maintained myself. Apparently, I was the only person who didn't appreciate the work that our prayer warriors were doing. No, apparently, I was the only person that didn't appreciate it. Apparently, everybody has liked the spiritual protection. Now, let me contrast with this story. Pastor Corey was in a plane coming from Sokoto or so, going to Abuja. The storm was bad, and it was a small plane. So they were going up, they were going down. You know that kind of thing? The flight would go into the air to come back down. It was shaking so bad. Everybody in the plane, you know, everybody believes in Jesus Christ. It's just that there's no trouble yet. People know where to go, where wahala they. They know. Please, what I want to say is a joke, but I like the joke so much, I tell you once in a while. One boy went to Babalawo one day. They wanted to do juju for medicine. He does deals. So that man was still trying to do his juju. And he was rolling his pellets and making all the sounds with his face painted. He now said to the man, he said, please. He said, Baba, this money we are talking about is a lot of money. And you know when it happens, half is your own. The Baba said, how much is the money? I can't remember for sure, but he says it's like $2 million. One calculator, he drop all the pellets. He said, my son, give me your hands. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. He said, we roll these pellets. What is 5,000 naira, 10,000 naira? $2 million? No, only Jesus can save. Now, it was a joke, but I found that very funny. This one, Pastor Ray was on the plane. That's how everybody was, the name of Jesus was ringing. But there was one guy who was beside him. That guy didn't say anything. He too didn't say anything. They just sat down there calmly. See, after a while, he overheard the fellow under his breath say, storm, I command in the name of Jesus, cease. No noise. He heard because he was sitting beside him. And he said to the man, amen. And the two men just kept quiet. And then the storm ceased. And everything went calm. And they landed peacefully. You see that? You see how they're shouting? Do you get my point? What I like about it is that the man didn't say anything. Maybe he was praying there under his breath. Only time he lifted his voice was just enough for the man beside him to hear. And that one turned to him and said, amen. I'm talking about spiritual authority. God grants it. We found out that it's not every believer. You work hard until you attain the position of receiving such. And please, nobody should try and be giving you confidence. Once saved, is always saved. Let me tell you, you will always be saved if you are pursuing higher things. That confidence is only used by people who are not planning to go anywhere. They want to join politics and steal money and still be saved. They want to chase anyone that looks beautiful in their eyes and still be saved. They want to just live life, in quote, enjoy life, and there's no trial, There's nothing they are aiming to get in life when it comes to a high price, the high calling. They know. That's how they know. They're wanting that confidence. And the sister that told my wife that the church she used to go to, in fact, she said her church is a Hyper Grace church. With her own words, she described the church. So what she likes about the church that now she's always at peace. My wife told her, you are sleeping, you have the peace of death. Your conscience is being destroyed. You're getting comfortable iniquity. And see, that's what you like about your church. You need a church where you are not at ease if things are not well in your life. We're talking about let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. You are saying, even when I fall, I feel happy. You can't see your pastor is killing you. That's what he's doing. Killing you with false doctrine. So, that's what we're looking at. That authority is granted. That was where we made our mistakes, thinking that once you are born again, you just go around removing leaders. Because if I give you that authority, you would think you are living in the UK. They have changed prime ministers 5 times in 4 years. Is it 4 times in 5 years or 5 times in 4 years? We have a new one now. You'll be dislodging them anyhow. You'll go home, the governor will do something you don't like, you just remove him in Jesus' name. Then you put a new one. The devil will take over. You try to rule for 6 months, you get angry, just remove him in Jesus' name. Then the speaker of the house becomes the governor. He announces you after 6 weeks, you just remove him in Jesus' name. Because that's why I don't give people like you authority. You need to know that as wicked as he is, Pharaoh can't go until I've declared my power in him. You need to know. With all the power Moses has with God, it didn't cross his mind that God remove Pharaoh. For what? God said, I have chosen him to display my power. Go there, I will harden his heart. I need a hard man on this throne. Until I've displayed my 10 plagues, 10 wonders, to judge all the gods in Egypt. If you remove me before the end, I judge 5 gods. My people come out believing what those gods can do in their hearts. They enter into the promised land. They worsen the matter. Say, leave him. I know what I'm doing. That's what God says. Leave him. I know what I'm doing. So the kind of person that God will give certain levels of authority, I said last time, we give certain levels of authority. He first gives certain levels of insight. That's why they have to eat hidden manna. God is helping me, but I'm not very good at it yet. I don't want to be arguing with people. Ignorant people, I'm sorry, don't mean it as an insult, but they don't know what you know. So they think you are being ridiculous. They've not seen to the realms you've seen into. So what are you arguing with them over? The emotions are pushing them up and down. What are you arguing with them over? There are those who believe that if God appoints a leader, he must be perfect, 100%. Meanwhile, none of the ones God appointed in the Bible is like that. The closest was David. Or one of the closest. Maybe I just thought about one or two other persons now. God personally, by himself, with nobody counseling him, he chose Saul. Was a terrible king. God personally, by himself, with nobody counseling him, chose Jeroboam. Was a terrible king. Of all the sons of David, God, together with David, let's just add David to it. They picked Solomon. He ended his days messing up Israel. People don't know how bad Israel became at the end of Solomon's life, because the Bible doesn't talk much about it. The inkling we have is that one, we know he went into idolatry, but how did the people feel? When he died and his son Rehoboam wanted to take over, they said, Abel, don't treat us like your father. They sent delegates to him, said, please, what your father did to us, please, promise us you wouldn't do it. The young foolish boys now counsel him, say, no, don't agree, they want to weaken your power. He said, my father, what did he do? My father that was very soft, I'm the hard man. They said, you are the hard man. You blew the trumpet. To your tents, O Israel. Let David have his house. Judah. Let them follow him. So when God wants to give authority to such a person, these are all the insights God will have given the person. So like I said, what do you need to do? Pursue after that ranking. Don't be comfortable. We're reading somewhere, right? We have not read it. Okay, we're reviewing. So Psalm 118. What I've done so far, in trying to recapitulate things we said last time, I think we've amplified them a bit. Psalm 118. Let me start, because of time, I wanted to read from the beginning, but let's just save some time. I'll pick it up from verse 6, and then we'll just be jumping here and there. No. All right, from verse 4. Oh, let those who fear the Lord say, His loving kindness is everlasting. From my distress, I called upon the Lord. Please, I want everybody to notice this. From my distress, I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Said, the Lord is for me, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. Now, please, I want you to notice verse 8. You know, we talked about it last Tuesday, right? How to take refuge in the Lord. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Now, these are the troubles a man may have. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me, he said. Yes, they surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished as a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. You pushed me violently so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I will not die but live and tell of the works of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. Please notice verse 19 again. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I will give thanks to the Lord, for you have answered me and you have become my salvation. Said the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Let me just stop reading in that verse 23. I said earlier, people can have troubles. Amen? Yeah, we may have troubles. What the Lord is doing is getting our attention. Don't forget it. Please, I've preached this before. I just feel like reiterating it because it's an important thing Christians often overlook. I've just explained now that in the midst of troubles, now, the Bible says that, you know what, you purify gold in the furnace. The Bible says that the furnace of affliction is where God purifies his saints. I hope you're getting my point. In the time of trouble, God is purifying what? His saints. In the time of trouble, let me say it again. God is purifying his saints. I must say that one more time. In the time of affliction, what the Lord is doing is what? Purifying his saints. That's what he's doing. It is a terrible thing that's happened to the body of Christ. This magnification of the devil and the witches and all the agents of Satan. Even if they meant, see, people will mean things for evil. Human beings are wicked. I hear tales of things that human beings did. And I'm like, what? A person did that? Because sometimes, if somebody steals my thing as an example, it is because he wants to eat, he wants to sell it and make money or something. That's bad, right? But at least you can explain where he's going. It will benefit him. But there are times people do things and you can't explain how it benefits them. They just do you evil. Even if you making progress or stuff will have benefited them one way or the other later on in life. But why should you make progress? Let's all be poor. Or let only me be rich and you remain poor. Human beings do that. They can be very evil in this life. Now, I don't know much about how the traditional life was in Eastern Nigeria. I didn't grow up here. But I know it quite a bit about Western Nigeria, all right, the culture. What I'm saying so is that culture entered into church. Now, if it, just look over Nigeria today, you know the influence of those that grew up in the West, in the body of Christ. Yeah, just think about it for a moment. Very powerful influence. A lot of things that they end up preaching in church, that's the painful part. It's not scripture, it's cultural. Like I said, I don't know about Eastern Nigeria. I'm talking about the West. There are churches that started by people from that side, big churches and all of that. All they do is fight witch. You see, that's how the man grew up. That is, a friend of mine, a classmate of mine, he did his NYC somewhere in that place. This was in, I think, Oshun or Ogun. I thought Oshun or Ogun. He said, Banky, will you believe? Before I finished NYSC, I started asking patients, did you offend somebody? He said, I saw mysterious things. He said, doctor. He said, mysterious things were happening. He said, after a while, I found myself asking patients, did you offend somebody? He told the story of one of his patients, a police officer, who felt because he had some muscle with him, decided to be misbehaving. He was a tenant in the house of a polygamist. Started chasing the small wife. My friend thinks, and I wasn't there, you know, I will tell you where I was there, what I was not. My friend thinks, said the man showed up one day. Of course, later on, as a pathologist, I learned what the problem must have been. And just had this mysterious cellulitis. As a young doctor, he couldn't tell. Maybe there was no senior to it, but they tried their best. What will you give more than antibiotics and stuff like that? The man just started with one small sweat in his hand. Okay, checked it. It's painful. Okay, I think it's something, antibiotics. So he kept on increasing. He changed the antibiotics, did everything. The thing just kept on progressing. So one day, people decided to carry him home. He died in the car. They think, the old man just said, next time you see somebody's wife, keep off. He said, Banky, I saw all kinds of strange things. I started asking my patient, who did you offend? Now, somebody like that grows up and enters into church. I mean, like, from that environment. When you come to him, Ogun Idile, Antitayo. That's, how do you say that in English? Hey, tall reverend has gone to church. Oh. No, you got it right. For this from the father's house. But more like war, trouble. Yes, you got it right. That's how they start fighting. Day and night. Because that was how they grew up. Go and listen to the story of this bishop. His name just came and escaped me now. I'll tell you before I finish the story. His mother relocated him to the UK from a Muslim home. He's from Oyo State. His mother relocated him to the UK to get him away from the rivals in the home so they wouldn't kill him. Now, people, oftentimes, what happens is that they grow up like that. They get born again. They don't get fully taught. Yes. They just carry the whole thing to church. And then it's still the same fight. But now, instead of going to Babalawo, we'll come to Jesus Christ. But it's the same fight. Some of you go to such churches in the morning, witches, enemies. It's traditional worship that has been brought into church. It hasn't been changed. Whole denominations are built on it. I've preached before and people have told me that I don't know African devils. And I acknowledge it. I don't need to know them. I just need to know the international almighty Jesus Christ. Once I know him, every other power is inconsequential. That's it. Once I know the Lord, every other thing is inconsequential. Where I'm going is that people brought all these fights. You see, it's not scripture. It's not. There is just traditional war that they brought Jesus into. Come and fight on our side. But you know what? It's the same fight. Before, they were using incantation. Now, they use psalms. The same fight. And many of our white garment churches, that's what they do. That is what they do. That's what they do. The psalm is a book of incantations for local warfare for them. And that is one thing, as believers, we should not allow. Are you getting my point? People have troubles. That's how I'm going in this life. There are people who are just wicked. All right? But then as a believer, you start learning that that is not the way your life is. Are people wicked? Yes. We are not saying this suddenly because I go to church and everybody is not nice. No. I'm just saying your wickedness is not part of my problems. What I have understood from the scriptures is that no matter what you mean, what you intend, the good that God has planned for me, it must happen if I cooperate with the Lord. That in fact, your evil heart may be one of the things that God will use to get me to where I'm going. Do you get what I'm saying? For example, now God looked at and said, Kai, Joe, he has to become a ruler in Egypt. How will we get him to Egypt? So the agent says, she will invent trains. We can give them technology for trains. They transport him there. And the Lord said, no, now. If you do him like that, he's going to become a very responsible person. He won't know how to work hard. How will he rule? So the angel said, well, that's true. We'll go send him to the school of hard work. It's a 4-year course. The first year is planning. Second year is practice. Third year is proposal writing. Fourth year is working. And the Lord look at the angel and say, are you okay? Does anybody really learn like that? The angel says, okay, no, they don't. So the Lord said, let me show you guys what I will do. How many are there in the family? The boys? Said there are 12. He's number what? 11. Good. So leave the small boy. He's the nice guy too. All the other 10, are they good people or bad people? The angel said, whoa, these boys, very wicked. Said, good. Let's use their wickedness. Find me a spirit that will motivate them to try and destroy the young man. You know the story. They said, let's kill him. God said, of course, you can't kill him. That's what he told Job. In the case of Job, that's what he told Satan. You can't kill him. So this play that the brother said, no, you can't kill him. Let's throw him into a pit. His plan was to come and rescue him for his father. The Lord said, if you rescue him and give to his father, you spoil my own plan. So while he was gone, that spirit just whispered to them, see, make money. They sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Is that not so? Yeah. Is it? Yes. What did he say? Praise God. So they sold him anyway, whether for 30 or 40 or 10 pieces of silver or 20, he was sold. So he ended up in Egypt as a slave. So the angel said, okay, this is the kind of school you're talking about. The Lord said, yes, this is the school I'm talking about. And the angel saw how good the school was. Hands-on training. Apprenticeship from a captain of the guards of Pharaoh. So he knew what was going on in Pharaoh's palace. He could overhear the gist. He knew how Pharaoh's palace ran. You are getting the point? Yes, he knew how Pharaoh's palace ran. So, he learned to walk. And God was guiding him, training him, until he became the star worker in that house. That's training. So the angels came and said, he has graduated. He's very good now. The master trusts him. He has put everything in his hands. God said, good. So what do we do next? He said, postgraduate. He has to go for postgraduate training. He said, where? In jail. He has to be in prison for a while. The angel said, such a nice boy. He says, postgraduate now. So where's the admission paper? You know, we've been using wicked people. The angel said, yes. Is there any wicked woman in the house? He said, there's one adulterous girl. You said we should make Potiphar marry some years ago. He said, that's the reason why I said Potiphar should marry her. Oh, yeah? The spirit of adultery entered into the woman. Tell him like this. He said, I know Joseph. He no go agree. The angel said, is it not risky? He said, I know Joseph. He will not agree. And you know the rest of the story. The woman bore false witness against Joseph, and Joseph entered into the first phase of his postgraduate training. And they signed his admission papers. That's the jailer. The dean of studies admitted him into training, and Joseph got there. And they continued the training. He saw the hardship that people could go through. He saw how people were being treated wrongly. He knew he got to jail wrongly, so he felt that, all right, all those who told the story, he listened to them. God was training him. One day you're going to be a ruler. This is how you judge. Don't throw everybody in prison. Do you understand? He didn't know the Lord was talking. He was just observing, learning, observing, learning, observing, learning. Then God, so the angels now said, sir, we think he's very good. The Lord said, about time. Let's move him to the next phase. How do we move him? He says, no, he has graduated. Let's give him a PhD. Time to work. So they sent two people into prison to come and move him out. What are they? Who were they? The cupbearer and the chief baker. Good. One of them was a criminal. The other was an innocent bystander. So they dreamt. The gift that God had given Joseph, he used to help them. And he now made the mistake we all make. Very human. Don't feel bad when you do it. God will forgive you. He begged, looked at human beings for help. He said, please, Oga, you know, wrongly they brought me here. You can understand. He said, wrongly they brought you here, he said. So you can understand that that's how I got here too. Please mention me so that I can go home. My father is old. God said, mention uncle. As the man came out of prison, one angel just snatched the memory. The whole story vanished for the man. The man didn't remember Joseph one day like this. 2 straight years, while they were processing his certificate, reading his project to be sure he filed everything well for his final PhD. All right. The man just kept on walking. Then finally, God said, now, time to get to work. Give the other man a dream. Can you see what I'm saying? It's a story you know, right? I don't need to tell the whole story. But I want to bring out the role of wicked people in promoting Joseph. Even the cupbearer was even a wicked person. Very ungrateful. He doesn't pay back good done to him. Was that not what Joseph taught for 2 years? That's the problem. You help people, they don't remember you. Let me just tell you, you don't need anybody to remember you. See, if they remember you at the wrong time, all they will do is send you back to your father's house. So if they have refused, say amen. Thank God for it. Because by forgetting what happened, he was detained there for 2 more years. And by the time the man remembered, Joseph could not even remember his own father's house. You get my point? They didn't give him that privilege. Instantly, he was promoted. I've watched, there's a particular man who does a particular series of videos on Bible history, archaeology, and stuff like that. What he described was that they became the ruling house in Egypt. He said, I'm quoting somebody, that the tomb has been found, do you understand, where Joseph was buried in Egypt, except that it's empty. Do you know that the Israelites took him? Yeah. So they found where they were buried. His own is empty. He will give you the name Egyptians called him. He described how long he ruled for. He even said something, let me not say it on record. The person that ruled after him, again, one of their people. Yet, how did they get there? Wicked people. Those guys were so wicked, they did not believe he could forgive. You are the one I'm preaching to today. You know, some people, is it what they're angry with that's even annoying me? You know, they're angry with their father, they're angry with their family, and they're angry with the country. There's one joker, I will not mention his name, I just look at him. I said, this one. Well, let me not say anything. He won a Grammy Award. Grammy. And they will now interview him. How? He said, I deserved it. I looked at him, you deserve it. He says, because we live in this kind of bad country. He said, if I was not living in Nigeria, if things were working better, I would have won it 4 years ago. That's what he said, though. I just look at this guy. Please, if any relative of mine wants to marry that guy, I say, lie, lie. I don't, it's very well to do. Right now, these are people that make $1 million a week. He's very rich. But his future, unless he has changed, my hand no dey. That is, you've forgotten that the category in which you won the Grammy was because of where you live. Do you follow my point? Oh, yes, you know, they break it down into categories. Baba, you know. You should know now. With this kind of hairstyle, why won't you know? I looked at the guy and said, how ungrateful. When they interviewed him after the game, he said, I deserved it. I watched him and said, you deserved it. Then next he said, it's because of the country he lives in. We know that the country is this bad. We'll have won it at least 4 or 5 years before. Eh? So I didn't know that quality of stupidity still exists. I told everybody at least knows how to just say, Father, we thank you, or God, we thank you, or Richard, we thank you, whatever you want to call God. That you think that if it, hey, Jesus is my Lord. That's how some people are angry. That's the point I'm making. I keep on telling everyone, if you're a Christian, don't be angry with anybody. What did I say? There's no need. Why? If their wickedness worked against you, it's because God cooperated with it. Yeah, no, because if it was not meant to work, the rule of God, I turn wickedness to your favor. That's God's rule. Your brothers conspired against you, well, that will take you to Egypt. That's my school. May Spotify conspired against you or lied against you, bore false witness, that will take you to postgraduate training. The cupbearer did not remember you. That's it. So you won't leave before the time I ordained. At the end of the day, everything will work together and put you inside the destiny I planned. I'm explaining this portion again for us to understand. David said, you pushed me violently so that I was falling. But the Lord helped me. Now, you see where I'm going. That violent pushing is necessary for you to experience the help of the Lord. And when you experience the help of God, you get to know God the helper. I don't know whether you're getting my point. So that next time people plot to push, you are laughing ahead. They won't know what is funny. Why? Because the last experience had taught me God the helper. Do you get it? See, you can't get to know the Lord the way you should until you pass through certain issues. No matter the lectures they give you. Which means, you know, we talk about hidden manna. Remember hidden manna? That's what gives you what? Vision. That is nobody, that's why God said, you have to overcome before I can give you hidden manna. Because you see, the fact is that without the troubles, the heart don't open. The heart doesn't open. You know, Emma, we can pray the whole night. Father, God, Father, I hear people pray all the time. Hey, speak in tongues. Which is good, it's not wrong. I preach all the time, quote the scripture, the whole night is good. Potu boy, if trouble woke you up at 2 a.m., that is, you can't sleep, and you get on your knees. Kekoba. Ah, Father. See, all the confessions of 2 hours will not get the effect of 5 minutes of groaning. Now, you know, there's groaning there. Let us now begin to groan. See, you want to hear the truth? That's a joke. It's good. You know, it's better than smoking Igbo. No, really, really. Some of these things we do. It's very good for young people. When you're on campus, join. Do you get go to fellowship? They do. Yeah. It's good because, you see, if you don't do that now, we may find you where they are smoking Igbo and then they are testing PCP and testing all kinds of drugs. When adults want to groan, go and hear Jesus Christ. Pain. Lazarus is dead. You look in the eyes of Mary. And he says, if you were here, my brother would not have died. Read your Bible. The Bible says he groaned within himself. They are going on the road. Someone is not saying anything. Yet the thunder in heaven. You can't hear anything. Martha sees you, and the first thing Martha says is that, you delayed in coming. If you were here, my brother would not have died. That's what we're talking about. You groan because you're happy. The one that makes me laugh are those who groan into the microphone. Let's begin to groan. You didn't put up a microphone. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. Now, God does not need the megaphone. Doesn't need the speakers to hear you. Bro, even if you want to lead us a bit, drop the mic. Don't disturb us. Some of you want to pray, other people can't pray. It's not good. Damn, in the days of the ancient immortals, do you guys used to do those things? Hey, I'm telling you, when something hook you personally, you know, you feel your heart is breaking. As if your stomach is bursting inside. That's what the Bible might talk about with groanings that, what? It can't be uttered. You know, we like to utter. And now modify that uttered in articulate speech. He said that cannot be what? Uttered. When God wants to answer, it's not only physical answer he gives. In fact, the number one answer God can give you is to show you his face. That's the number one answer he can give. This is my own understanding. You can disagree with this. When Jesus was groaning, you know the story? In the garden. There are a few times he groaned. I've mentioned one. In the garden, when he was praying with groanings, the statements he made, they were not many. Let this cup pass over me, Father. Nevertheless, not your spirit, not my will, but yours be done. Then the Bible says that he tried to wipe. Now, I'm just trying to bring out something. He tried to wipe the face. And the Bible says that it was blood. The pressure inside his soul was so much enough to burst vessels in literal terms on the skin. At the end, what did they give him? Now, this is what I said, you can disagree, but this is what I understand. The Bible says an angel came and what? And strengthened him. How did this angel strengthen him? How did he minister to him? I'll tell you what I think. This is one I said you could disagree with. I believe an angel came, showed him 2 photographs as an example. Banky, a slave, working in the plantations. Then showed him another photograph. Banky, the author of a book called Fundamentals of Christian Marriage, How to Work for God. Look at his wife. Look at his children. Look at people who have left their homes this morning to listen to him. Wouldn't you die for this? Ah, Jesus looked. He said, good. He put that one aside. He kept on showing him pictures of people going to hell. People are going to live in, see, forget hell, fire, and no fire. We're talking about people who live in darkness because they are alienated from God. They showed him another picture of people who are the same people now who are reconciled to the Father and who are living joyfully in his presence forevermore, with God being their light. The more he saw, the more he was strengthened, the more he was encouraged. When God wanted to encourage Daniel, didn't give him anything. Give him visions of the future. He, see, God loved Daniel. He was a man highly esteemed. What did he give him? Did he give him food? Was it money he gave him? He saw the heart of Daniel. Said, let me tell you what will happen in the future. Daniel saw everything. He saw things like this, all sitting down, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, talking about him. He was so comforted. No, let's just be practical. You understand? Let's assume now that I'm having troubles. Things are not going well the way I would have loved. And then, like this, we're talking. Just look at ministry and stuff like that. And then God now shows you that, Banky, see these are your children. Mention them by names. See what I will do with their children. And I'm seeing people who preach the gospel everywhere. Everywhere they go. Healing. You know, understand my point? Deliverances. They are founders of universities, industries, you know, judges and stuff. Said, these are just your own children, no? Their descendants. Okay, let's see. They say, just 500 of those that listen to you. The same thing replicated. Say, Bank, do you want these things to happen? I said, Lord, very nice. He said, so from now on, you'll be eating 2 times a week. As an example. Do you think I'll complain? I said, Lord, is the second one necessary? Because I think, yeah. No, you just, Father God, see, just give me the food you gave Elijah. Once every 40 days. That is, people will see you. Say, Pastor, you are losing weight too. You know, you start laughing. I'm losing weight? They don't understand, this man has gone mental. The joy that is set before you. Oh boy, there is nothing you won't endure. Now, I've given the extreme, say, eat twice a week. Of course, it's not as if he's going to ask about food, like, I'm just giving an extreme. So, what other kinds of discomfort do you think people will not take? Now, and these are small, small things. What is it? A few children, I have their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, 500 people, he just mentioned that listen to the words that I preach and all of that. What about when thousands, millions, billions will be redeemed because of your sacrifice? When they were stoning Stephen, what did God give him? Vision. Are there students you think is feeling pain? You can't be seeing what he's seeing and you'll be feeling pain. He says, oh, feeling, Stephen didn't say thunder fire them. I can't even say thunder fire them. When you are looking, say, oh boy, throw one more stone. I will see more. Yeah, because that stoning opened heavens to him. Can you see what I'm saying? That's what Christianity is about. Stoning Stephen opened heaven to him. Learn to respond to your troubles. We discussed this before, and that's what I'm trying to emphasize. He said, in the midst of those troubles, open to me the gates of righteousness. And what am I preaching today? The gates of righteousness. What are they? We talked about this a few weeks ago. First, always insist, anytime I'm getting out of my troubles, what is the gate God is taking me through? You know, you were telling me the other day that your lawyer said he will introduce you to one very famous, you know, one of these big stars and all of that. What did I tell you? I said, forget that thing. They wanted to come and bow down to Satan so that he can open doors. I said, leave that thing. What you need to do is pray. He said, God, open to me the gates of righteousness. I don't need human connections. Human beings are very good at disappointing. And those ones that don't disappoint, their price is usually too high. One of my friends was running for a particular appointment, very big. The powerful, I won't mention the rank the man holds. He told him that, all right, when he enters the office, he has to give him $10,000 every month. I'm going to work for government. You're supposed to help me lobby because you are powerful. You're telling me ahead now that if it works, you probably hold this position for 8 years. So for 8 years, I will give you $10,000 every month. 120. Now, where will it come from? Is it my personal pocket? I don't. If I had that kind of money, what am I doing working? Of course, he's smart enough to tell the man that that's not doable. He wasn't even trying to preach righteousness to the man. He said, oh God, I can't do it. That is, I won't have the means, the resources, and I won't put the place I'm working in jeopardy to fund that kind of thing. And that brother I heard of, they told him flat, see, they sat him down. Said, look, just sign this. You hear your name announced by next week. Say, I can't do that. Say, forget it then. And he forgot it and he didn't get anything. People are shouting, government, government. I told you, leave this thing. Those are the governments you don't see. Human beings, that's what they do. They disappoint. Now, the ones that don't, their price is really too high. So I'd rather trust in God, David said, than trust in princes. Because those princes, they are expensive. But when you insist, I was saying, on the gates of God, now this is what the Lord gives. We explained that faithfulness gives you the white stone, the hidden manna, the white stone, and a new name. But when you insist on passing through the gates of God, which is a gate, now you know what Jesus said something, he was saying in Matthew chapter 7. He explained that the broad way, okay, is what most people prefer. Do you understand? But the narrow way, the tight gate. Now, what was described to us when he said the gate is straight, is more like you have to, like now, maybe you may have to remove your agbada you are wearing. You may have to walk on the side. Maybe you can't carry anything along with you. God strips you basically to be able to pass through that gate. I hope you're getting my point. It's akin to when, I've not seen this before, but I've heard it described. When a butterfly is trying to come out of the pupa. You've heard the story before of the little boy that fell, let me help the butterfly crack the back of the chrysalis so that the butterfly could drop. So the butterfly came out, tried to fly, could not, and died. That in the boy trying to help the butterfly, he did not know that that squeezing out process is a maturing process. That taking Joseph back home from Potiphar's house is killing his destiny. Even though they were trying to help him. Do you get the analogy there? All right? Because you see, I was saying, the light that God needs you to live life by. You know, I was saying something earlier. A lot of things, so David used, not David, what's the name of the guy? Joseph used to run Egypt. He was prepared for them in the house of Pharaoh. For a Potiphar, I wanted to say Potiphar. He was hearing this. He saw them plot. There are a lot of plots people wanted to do. I want to imagine this. Against Joseph. He just remembered Potiphar telling the story. In the house of Potiphar, he saw a lot of things. In prison, you think he just interpreted dream for two people he did. They just tell him of how they ended there. There were many other people that were brought who just tell Joseph of the inner politics in Pharaoh's palace. So by the time he was come to the Pharaoh's palace, he had been there before. When they would greet him, say, that guy used the left hand. Ah, I heard those left-handed people. This guy is one of them. Don't worry. I'm going to send all of him to prison. Just watch me. The guy will come and serve him next day. Say, him, lock them up. Oga, how did you know they were conspiring? Yeah, he greeted me with the left hand yesterday. How do you know about the left hand? Ah, they taught me about it in prison. Do you get what I'm saying? A lot of the wisdom you use to run your life, you will learn in the time of trouble. Many people, God says, see, you know why you are broke now? Why your business is having every day to, you know, to manage in this area? Because if I don't do that to you now, and you form a habit, it's a habit that you are creating. The day I start giving you money in billions, you will spend it like one rich man that Cosmo Madica was telling us about that time. That the man was spending money as money is going out of fashion. He said he was just spending money. That I said, this man has never really worked for money. That's what his problem is. That he's never really worked. Cosmas Madoka that was talking, he couldn't spend money that way. Meanwhile, he's the one the man took money from. It's just a habit that he had formed. He had been prudent all his life. So when the money is coming in scores of millions of dollars, he can't change. And that's the reason why scores of millions will become hundreds of millions. That's why he will be continuing to increase. That's why he will be going around the country at his age, teaching people because of discipline that he was forced to learn. You know, there are times, you ask some of these guys that work with me, when they see some of the things I know, oh God, they're like, oh God, how did you learn this one? As if you have done ministry the way I've done it, you too, you will know it. There's no... the one that made Precious laugh one day, our sister Precious, she came to show me what she was doing and what she was learning and all of that. How they do the, how they design the interface for websites and all of, they were just, she was talking. After a while, I said, Precious, do you use Figma? He said, Pastor, you know Figma? She was showing me design. She didn't bother to mention the name of the app she was using because she felt I wouldn't know. But she kept on describing. I said, in my mind, this looks like Figma. I said, do you use Figma? He said, sir, you know Figma? I said, my sister, if you have done ministry the way I have done it, you too will know many things. That is the kind of things you will know. Well, if I talk sound with some of these guys, you get surprised. You see, I started ministry with Sony radio set. If I sit you down and go through the level of the first microphone I bought for 300 naira. I don't need to tell you it was not good. The next time I bought a mic, I asked Judah when we were doing troubleshooting of sound. I'm sure I've taught Judah more about sound in his life. See, look at the way he's nodding vigorously. It's not you know a lot of natural intelligence. I've learned obedience through the things I have suffered. See, instead of you grumbling and grumbling all the time, all this grumbling and grumbling is not helping anybody. Learn the difficult things. Because what God is using affliction to teach, there's no comfort that can teach it. And let me tell you, the most important thing God wants to give you, I said the last time, let me end it there today, is the knowledge of himself. Benihin said something many years ago when he came to Benin. We were students that time. Where Benihin was in town, so we all ran to Church of God Mission. Archbishop Benson that also brought him. And he said, why would they shout, holy, holy? Why are those 24 elders, why are they casting out their crowns? And they keep shouting, holy, holy, holy. He said, the reason why you keep hearing holy, holy, that each holy that is spoken, that's how Benihin explained to us, that each holy that is spoken is the response to a revelation of God's face. That is a new dimension of God you will see. You shout, holy. God said, you haven't seen anything yet. Think about it. Your name is Hagar. You are sitting down. Your boy is dying of thirst and hunger. And you cry to God. and an angel shows you, look, there's a well of water there, and you discover the well. Do you get it? What's the name of God there? Create one for me. Provider, Sustainer, You are still speaking English, all of you. Water of life. Okay, let me give you one. The Lord, the well finder. No, that's how it is, though. The well finder. Next time you're in the wilderness, you don't look for a well, you pray. Did you catch that? And when you are praying this time around, the picture of God. See, I've said it before. If you go and read Exodus 33 into 34, when Moses was asking God, please reveal yourself to me. I think it was partly, for a purpose of just being light. He was tricking God small. Of course, God, he can't trick him, but I'm just going to say something. God had just told him that you guys are too stubborn. I won't go with you. So Moses said, okay, can we see? We've been seeing all this while, but can we see in a different dimension? God said to Moses, no, we can't do that. It might kill you. In fact, it will kill you. So I'm going to pass. I'll keep in the cleft of a rock, cover it with my hands. Then when I finish passing by, you will see me, my back part. Basically, the way I understand is that you see the after effects of my passing. So Moses said, no problem. So the Lord kept him. You know the story? And then what did he see? See, you don't need this physical thing. What he saw was he heard the Lord proclaim the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands and forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, who will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. No, he just heard God describing himself. He said, God, finish. When the Lord finished, he said, hey, like I was saying, you will go with us, even though we're stubborn people. Hey, wait, oh, you said, abundant in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands and forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. He said, Lord, pack your bag, let's go. It was clear the Lord had to go with them. Please, as we close today, don't ever let your afflictions go until you have discovered something about God. Number one thing he gives you is that knowledge of himself. You discover the face of God because of your troubles. Time will not allow me. I will have talked about what Derek Prince called the prayer of desperation. Yes. But basically, this is how I would describe it. Faith is provoked many times in the midst of desperation. And Paul says something to Timothy. Let me end with that. He said, from your youth, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. One of the things you come out from in the time of affliction is understanding of new ways to get things done. Do you catch what I'm trying to say? In different areas. I don't have time now because I actually want to close now. In different areas, God will give you understanding. There's a kind of wisdom that will not be released until you are tried. You think it's just experience that taught me this. It's not experience. There's something about talking with your wife and with your husband that it only learned after two of you have quarreled well. What I'm saying to us, all right? Don't waste your afflictions. God commanded them to get you to another level. I need to close my message here now. Let's go down here. Let's just thank God. If you have been blessed today, just give the Lord thanks. If you have been blessed today, thank God. Say, Father, we thank you.